truth is, I am Iron Man.
Lieutenant Dan!
Inconceivable!
Got a bad feeling about this.
Hi, welcome to Flicks and Clicks. Today, I am joined by Tyler, Daniel, Jordan, and Micah, and we're going to be talking about the PS5. They are two months into owning it, some of them. We got a lot to talk about with that. Again, I should clarify, they have a lot to talk about. We're going to be trying to give a review. But before we start, Micah has a few quick housekeeping things to take care of. So, Micah?
Absolutely. A couple of housekeeping things. First off, Keelan, I'm sorry that you still don't have one. This isn't a joke. I'm serious. I really am excited for you to get one because it's a blast. It really is. And I've said this before, and I'll probably say it again at some point today, but it's like the best PlayStation 4 you've ever had because it's better at everything PlayStation 4 was. It's just better at. So I'm really excited for you to get one. But anyway, some housekeeping things. I just wanted to get this stuff out of the way so that we could talk PlayStation 5. So I just want to kind of share how you can get in contact with us, how you can hang out with us on social media and stuff like that. So you can follow us on Twitter at Flicks and Clicks. That's capital F and a capital C with X's. So that's capital F, L-I-X, A-N-D, capital C, L-I-X. That's Twitter. Instagram is... at Flicks underscore and underscore Clicks with X's as well. We also now have a Patreon, so that is a great way for you to support us. There's three different tiers of that, so go and check that out at www.patreon.com/flicksandclicks. That's patreon.com/flicksandclicks. If you want to support us financially, go over there, and if you become a VIP, which is like the highest thing, you will be having your name shouted out, just like right now. So I want to shout out to Justin and Becky Neal for being VIPs. You guys are fantastic, so thanks so much for supporting. And then I also want to shout out Jordan Hem. Who is here recording with us. Not sure why he felt the need to support us in that way, because he's already supporting us with his time. But thank you, Jordan. That means a lot, man.
He did it for the chocolates.
Oh, man. So, yeah, that is kind of my little shtick. So if you want to support us, go to patreon.com/flicksandclicks or follow us on Twitter or Instagram at flicksandclicks. That's it. That's all I got. For that.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next week. I feel like that joke is made almost every episode.
That's the first time it's been made, and it wasn't me who made it. So I'm glad you did that, Keelan.
So let's just get into the meat of it. PS5 came out November 12th.
12.
Right? 12. And at the time of recording, it's January 18th, so a little over 2 months. Tyler and Micah, you guys have had it since launch. How are you guys feeling 2 months in?
I'm feeling good. Real good, actually. I've said it already. Here it is. I'm saying again, 3 minutes later. It's like the best PlayStation 4 that you've ever had. I will say that there are aspects of it that are slight drawbacks, but none of those things are set in stone, and I feel like they may have remedies for those later. Some of them may cost money, which is kind of frustrating, but it has put a spin on a lot of games that I've played in the past that have made those games play so stinking smooth, and so that part of it is a blast. Everything loads at least twice as fast, if not three or four times as fast as it did on a PlayStation 4 Pro. So that is a huge plus. Games download faster. They start up faster. Everything, man. The system boots up faster. It's a dream, really. The controller is fantastic. So I'm feeling good 2 months later. I'm definitely not regretting my purchase in the slightest.
Me neither. And there was a part of me that thought I might, especially buying something at launch. I don't think I've ever bought a console. I haven't ever bought a console at launch, not even close. I've always waited for it to come down. And so I was a little worried that I was going to regret it to a certain extent. I think my number one worry was this isn't going to be different enough right at launch. That's the reason why I haven't gotten consoles at launch in the past is, oh, I can just wait another year. My old console is still good for another year. And I still believe that. PS4 is totally still viable. But at the same time, this is definitely different enough for me to justify the purchase. I'm very happy with it.
One thing I will say before we move on from this is there is almost nothing on the PlayStation 5 that you can do that you can't do on another console. Like, you can play all of these PlayStation exclusives on PlayStation 4, except for, I think, Demon's Souls. I think that's the only PlayStation 5 exclusive. Every other game.
Godfall as well, I think.
Godfall, yeah, which... Yeah. No one cares about because now it is, I'm pretty sure it's already like $25. But that being said, like, that to me doesn't matter because I know that I'm future proofed for things to come out that really need to be PlayStation 5 only. And so that I'm really excited about. But as for right now, if you're thinking like, well, can it do anything my PlayStation 4 can't do? Technically, no, it can't really do anything except for do everything faster. So if you are thinking about waiting, I mean, take that into consideration.
Yeah. So Daniel and Jordan, when you guys begin, just let us know how long about that you've had your PS5. But anyway, yeah, same thing for you guys. How are you guys feeling?
Yeah, so I got my PS5 2 months ago from tomorrow. So it's November 19th. And I'm kind of in the same boat as Micah. It's like the best PS4 Pro I've ever had. It just runs way faster. The only thing that's like really feels different is the way you navigate the menu and like the system UI. It's very similar looking, but the way you navigate is just a tiny bit different, and I'm still not used to it, but everything's, yeah, faster. I have my external hard drive plugged in from my PS4 that has all my PS4 games on it. And those take like 3 times longer to load than my PS5 games on it. So that's worth it all on its own.
Interesting. Okay. So external hard drives on PS5 work? I thought...
They work for PS4 games. You can't put a PS5 game on an external hard drive,
okay,
or an external solid state drive. Those won't work, but your PS4 games will still work, which I found out after I installed all the PS4 games I wanted to play.
I was trying to remember which day. I know it was a Friday, and I know it was before Christmas, so it was either the 11th or the 18th. In my defense, I can't remember because I woke up at like from my the deepest sleep at 5:30 in the morning to my friend Brady calling me and being like, dude, it's at Fred Meyer, like really far away, like get there now. And so like in 5 minutes or less from being in a dead sleep to running out to my car, I was on my way and I got one. So I know it was Friday and that's about the extent of it. But yeah, I mean, most of my feelings have pretty much already been said. I mean, for me, I had a PlayStation 4 Slim, not the Pro, and I had it for only about a year before I was able to get my hands on the PS5. And before that, I was on the original Xbox One, like the one that came out on launch like 7 or 8 years ago. So the change from PS4 Slim and original Xbox One to the PS5 has been pretty drastic for me in terms of graphics, in terms of speed, and then just, I don't know, I'm still getting used to the exclusivity of games and content that they provide. So for me, the last month of playing it has been like one of the best gaming months ever, because it's everything is exciting and everything is fun, even stuff that I've been playing for years before, like Destiny, like I've been playing that forever, and it's still like, it's so exciting right now because it looks so good and it's so fun to play and it loads so fast and stuff like that. So,
well, that would be a good segue into another topic. PS5 versions of games, or upgrades, I guess I should say, since Destiny is a prime example. It's a game that's been out, Destiny 2, it's been out for quite some time. How was that jump for you guys when the update finally came out? What was that like?
So I played Destiny 2 on the PS5 before the update for the PS5 came out, and even then Destiny 2 ran better than it did on the PS4. So the load times are faster and everything, and I think that was partially due to the new update. The new update on Destiny 2 took a lot of stuff out, which probably made the loading process a lot faster in general. So I think on PS4s it also felt that way. But then when the new version of Destiny 2 came out, holy smokes, it looks like a brand new game. It plays like a brand new game. It feels like a Destiny 3 experience. Does that make sense? It's like if they had made a Destiny 3, that's what it would feel like, because it's got 60 frames per second. You can change your field of view to go way further back so you can see way more in one shot. Everything the graphics look better. Honestly, people have said this for a long time, but frames per second is king when it comes to games, because it really just makes so much difference. It makes all the graphics look better, because you can have 1080p graphics, but if it's 30 frames a second, it's a little blurry. But if you have 1080p graphics and you've got 60 frames a second, it's going to look a lot more crisp. So, but it's also 4K, so it's just it runs fantastic, it plays fantastic. And for reference, I just before this turned on my PS5 from rest mode, turned it on, opened up Destiny, got into the game, and was playing in 35 seconds.
That's 35 crazy.
Seconds.
Wow.
So in the past, on PS4, it was literally open up Destiny, press X, set the controller down, go make a cup of coffee or whatever, and then come back and maybe it'll be close to done.
So come back and then scroll on your phone for 20 minutes and then it'll be ready.
Exactly. Yeah. I would tell my wife, literally, I'm going to play Destiny 2, and a half an hour after that, I would actually be ready to play. And it's not like, because it was the mix of things. Destiny is kind of hard to get started anyway. You got to go grab your bounties. True. You got to go grab all your stuff. But like the load time mixed with grabbing bounties and hooking up with your friends on there, half an hour at least of setup time.
Yep. Yeah. The first time that I ever played Destiny 2 on PlayStation 4, I think, when did it come out? 2016, 2017?
2016,
something like that.
I think.
2016, yeah. So Tyler and I went and snagged it, and we had a blast with it, and we were like, oh man, it looks so good. Looks so incredible. The first time that I popped it in, the PlayStation 5 version, it was exactly the same. I was like, wow, it looks so good. It's so incredible. It really was like a brand new game. Everything just ran 100% smooth, and the load times were always the worst on Destiny 2 on PlayStation 4. Whether you had a PlayStation 4 or a PlayStation 4 Pro, they just took forever. You're in a, you know, multiplayer like Crucible or Gambit, and you push the options button because you're trying to switch a gun real quick, and then you end up dying because it takes 15 seconds to load whatever it is. And on PlayStation, it takes a 1 second, and you're there, and you're already switching. And so just having a console that can actually run Destiny 2 like it's supposed to run is phenomenal, and it's almost bringing life to a whole new game. So I'm loving it.
I want to say, too, real quick, that I play the game differently now than I did before because of the PS5 and how fast it loads. So I was doing quests by myself last night after everybody was done. We were all playing together last night. And when I went to do the quests, it was like, you have to go to this planet. You have to go here. You have to go there. In the past, it would be like, oh, great. Like, it's going to take me like 45 minutes to do that because I have to go to this planet and wait and wait and wait and wait. And it takes literally like 10 seconds to get to another planet, and you're playing in that planet. So if it tells you to go somewhere else, no worries. Oh, I forgot something at the tower. That's no longer, you know, a 7-minute process to get back into the tower, go grab that thing real quick and get back out. It's a 2-minute process. It's just whoosh, it's a, grab it.
It's go. It's a non-factor at this point. Yeah, mm-hmm. All the load times is a non-factor completely. Fast mm-hmm. traveling too.
Is that, I don't know, I think someone might have mentioned this before in like a party or something. There's this place on the tower in between like the main area and where like the clan lady is and stuff. The stairs, every time it freezes, for me at least. Is that still a thing?
Absolutely not. Nope, it doesn't freeze at all. There's also times in missions where it would have you freeze, so it would load like the second half of the mission. That never mm-hmm. happens anymore either. It's all smooth.
I have had that happen once or twice. I saw the little loading thing, but it was literally like gone.
Yeah, and I was going to say, if you're playing with somebody on your PS5 and they're on a PS4, then the load times are slower because it accommodates to them. So like when we're doing stuff last night or whatever, Keelan, you were on PS4, and then Will is also on PS4. And because both of you guys are on PS4, those like traveling to different planets, stuff like that, is
slower.
And
John too. Yep.
Oh, and John, yeah. So that's slower when you're playing with other people on the old PS4 console, because it accommodates for them. So you're not jumping into a Gambit or whatever by yourself while your PS4 friends are still loading, and you're already 2 minutes into like trying to do this by yourself, sort of thing.
Gotcha.
Jordan, are there any games that you played on PS4 and then jumped back into a PlayStation 5 and had that kind of same new game experience?
Well, yeah. So Destiny, for the same reason you guys just said, I didn't realize this when I first started playing the PS5 version, but I had my HDR mode turned off, and I just bought a 4K TV too, like a couple weeks before, I got my PS5. So when I enabled that, my brain like melted. I was like, this is so insane looking.
That's awesome.
So that was really cool. Borderlands 3 is another game that I played a little bit of on the PS4, and they have a PS5 version. So I started playing that. The only difference is it's at 60 frames in 4K. They say it's at 120 frames in 1080p, but my TV's refresh rate isn't that fast, so I can't actually check. And I haven't seen like a screenshot that shows that, but that's what I've seen reported. And it takes a great use of the adaptive triggers on the controller. Ooh, that's the one thing
that's awesome.
I wish Destiny did. Mm-hmm. But
true, same. True.
Yeah. And another thing in Borderlands 3 is, because they have like a million different guns and different guns, like manufacturers. So different guns will have different trigger pulls, which are really cool. Like the pistol will be light, and then the shotgun is like really hard. And like there's a sniper rifle that I was using that charged up, and it got like, it was simple, and then it got really difficult. And I was just like, so switching between weapons, I could just feel which one I was using without looking.
That was so cool.
That was really insane feeling. I really want more games to do that in the future.
The new Call of Duty game does that really well, is what I've heard. I actually haven't played it, but
Cold War, yeah.
That's really cool.
I've heard the haptics in that game are crazy too with the PlayStation 5 DualSense.
I wonder if that would carry over to Warzone 2.
Hmm. That'd be cool.
And then also on Destiny 2, I read that you can play the Crucible in 1080 at 120 frames, but I haven't seen proof of that either.
I actually have not tried that. When I upgraded my TV for the PlayStation 5, I did get one that's 120 hertz. It's not HDMI 2.1 compatible, which means I can't do 4K 120, but I can do 1080p at 120 or 4K 60. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that too. I haven't actually tested it just because I honestly haven't really thought about it and don't really need to, because 60 frames a second is still just blowing my mind at this point.
Yeah, the jump from 30 to 60 is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
The other game is Fortnite has a PS5 version. They incorporated the adaptive triggers, but they just kind of like did the catch-all for it. They just kind of were like, let's make it this hard to pull a trigger for every gun.
Yeah,
and then,
true.
But I will say, help out with my wife runs a youth center. And so we were playing Fortnite with kids on the Xbox One S, on one TV and then the PS5 on another TV because I wanted them to try it out. And the kids are freaking out about it. Everyone wanted to try it on the PS5. But one of the coolest, or one of the things that I thought, I didn't expect this. Maybe this is because it's the Xbox One S. I don't know. But literally, the graphics looked almost laughable when you looked at both screens at the same time. It was like old Fortnite. Wow. I didn't notice how bad that is. That's really bad. And then, like, you'd see someone in the distance, and they look like a, you know, somebody out of Minecraft. And so then, in the PS5, it's just insane. So I didn't realize it was that big a difference. When you see them side by side, it's pretty dang noticeable.
The glow of guns in Fortnite is ray tracing enabled as well, and it glows like a whole room. If it's dark and there's like a green, say there's a green AR in there, the whole room is glowing green because of that. Like it's very cool.
That's awesome. That's honestly the thing I'm looking forward to most with getting the PS5, right now at least, is being able to play a lot of those games that have HDR. My PS4 Pro is not cooperating with any of the games that have HDR, which unfortunately some games only have HDR. Like Elder Scrolls Online, I just bought all the new expansions for it because it's on sale. And I can't play it because my TV like dips to black every like 10 seconds or so. But it seems to only be with HDR because that was a problem with Destiny. And then I switched off HDR on that and it was fine. So that's what I'm excited for right now because I'm locked out of a lot of my games, which is a bummer. But yeah, I guess we talked a little bit about the adaptive triggers and whatnot. And it seems like most games don't fully utilize it.
Yeah, the Spider-Man games use it a little bit too. When you're swinging through the air, it's a little bit of pressure pushback. But yeah, other than that, I haven't really played too many games that really truly utilize it, other than the obvious of the Astros Playroom.
Yeah, but Daniel, you only play Destiny.
That's not true. I play Ratchet and Clank. I played Bugsnax, which was a weird freaking game.
Daniel beat Bugsnax.
Huh? Whoa.
I gotta try that out, dude.
It's weird. That's all I'll say. This isn't a Bugsnax review, but it's weird.
So accessories, the controller. Some of us have the Pulse 3D headset. Some of us have the
Arctis 7.
The different one.
Yeah, I don't know. How do you guys like the various things outside of the controller that work with the PS5?
I just like want to start out with the thing that I am still unsure about, and it's the charging station. I like having a charging station because I hate cords and I don't like cord management. Or I mean, I do like cord management because I hate cords. but the thing that drives me nuts about that is I want it to be so much easier than it is to set the controller on the charging station. It looks good and everything, but it's like I want there to be like a magnetic click or something to help guide it into where it's supposed to be.
You have it, right, Dan?
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
And when I put it in, like if it's not right, you kind of have to like just tilt it back and forth until you can get it lined up. And then when it clicks, you're like, good. And so you don't have to like force it. You don't have to plug anything in. It does just sit in there. And maybe this is a small complaint, but like, one of the things that I had with my old Xbox One controller wireless charging station is that it did have like a little magnetic, like you put it in and it goes and it like kind of sucks it exactly where it needs to be. And it was so nice because it does the same thing that this charging kit does, but you don't have to think about it as much. You can just kind of like more or less almost just toss it into where it needs to go and it'll like line itself up and like connect. And it's a really little thing that makes me really bummed that I bought the wireless charging kit, if I'm honest.
I think for me, I didn't come from one that was easier. I came from one that was 1,000 times harder to plug in your controller. It is a like wireless charging station, but you have to like line it up with the back of the controller like perfectly. and it always took me like 30 seconds to a minute to plug in a stinking controller. It looked cool once it was plugged in, but for me, the charging station is fantastic, and it's very easy to use just because of... you're right, though. It feels a little bit wobbly at times. Like, it feels like, oh my gosh, is it going to fall off? Because the base of the thing is like an inch wide, and that's it. There's no like stability there. So if the controller isn't, or if it's not even on like a perfectly stable place on the, like on a tabletop, it'll just fall right over. But I found it to be pretty easy. And I actually like it a lot. So I'm really glad I got it. So there's a different take for you.
So I have a question for both of you. If Micah, you might know more about this because you're a little bit more techy, but in order for there to be smart connection, does there have to be smart connection on both ends? There does, right? So the controller would have to have a magnet and the charging station would have to have a magnet, right?
Yeah, they'd have to both have some kind of compatibility towards each other.
So I gotta say, I think for the sake of... The controller right now is $70. The magnet, I don't know how much a magnet's gonna cost, but to put a magnet inside of something and to make sure that it doesn't mess with the electronics can be pretty expensive.
I think what the charging station uses is weight. I think it uses the weight of the controller, and once it senses the weight is in the right place, when the balance is in the right distribution, it clicks in, which is really nice. You're right, though, Daniel. It is a little bit hard to find that sweet spot, but 10 times easier than my last charging station, so I'm loving it.
Yeah, and like part of it, too, is my charging station is like not in a super accessible spot because I don't know where to set it up yet, but it's like I have my little TV hutch has like sliding doors on either side, and it's in one of the sliding doors, so I have to like get down, look inside and try and find the right spot, and I can put it in
As your dog is like licking your face. Exactly
And then the other thing too is that the Xbox one that I had was not like, it was not a Microsoft product, and you had to, and the controllers came originally, they were battery, like AA powered controllers. So you had to go and buy like battery packs that were rechargeable. And so that's probably why it was a little bit different. The battery packs and the charger were made to work together better. So that could be why it was different as well. But it's a small complaint, but I think that's probably, of the accessories that I bought, probably my least favorite so far.
Jordan, do you have that, the charging station?
I do, yeah. And I had the one that Sony made for the PS4, and that one had, you would set in, and it had like a sliding kind of sleeve that you would put the controller on, and then you just clicked it down into place. So that was really easy. This one just takes like a lot more finesse. Mine's just sitting on my bookshelf. I have plenty of room to get to it, and I still sit there for, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds, just tilting it every way. Like, why won't you charge?
Yeah.
I'm so glad I'm not alone in this.
Yeah, no, you're super not alone.
I've noticed that the less that I care, the more easily it goes in. So if I just kind of go...
Same. I just go...
And then it goes,
I should try that.
And then it goes right in there. I think it's designed to do that based off of gravity. Like, if you look at it, it's really interesting. It like hooks way back. And so I think it really... wants it to, based off of gravity, however you kind of set it in there, if you're close enough, I guess, it just kind of clicks in there. I don't like the fact that it's not secure when it's on there.
Yep.
Like the one before was...
Feels wobbly.
Yeah. Well, and my wife literally like bumped the table and the controller fell off the charging station onto the ground. Like, come on, dude.
Wow.
That's not cool.
But again, it's only $30.
That's
true.
That's not that bad.
Or it's only $18 for me.
Yeah. Okay. Is there a time for like a 2-minute story, Keelan?
Yeah, absolutely. We're flying.
Okay. Here's my story real quick. I'm on the lookout always for deals, and I find deals. They literally fall into my lap, and this is what happened. So I was in Fred Meyer. I live in Oregon, so there's no sales tax. So I was at Fred Meyer, and I know that Tyler, my boy, has been trying to find his charging station and sent it out and was like, hey, if y'all find a charging station, let me know. And so I was also trying to find the Pulse 3Ds in stock somewhere because I bought a different headset but wanted to get a Pulse 3Ds and then put them side by side and then figure out which one I wanted to keep and then take back the other one. So I bought the the headset and the charging station. $130 total. I bought it, and Fred Meyer goes, anytime you spend more than $100, you get $20 off. And I was like, okay, $20 off is way cheaper than you're going to find these anywhere else. So they gave them to me for $110. And then I told Tyler, hey, I found you the charging station. I found it a little bit on sale, so I will send it to you, but you don't need to, you know, send any more than $30 because we saved that much with it because of how, you know, so whatever. So I'll send it to you. It'll cost $8 because it weighs a certain whatever. So I sent it that day. It ended up getting to Tyler the next day, which is pretty awesome. But anyway, so the next day, so that day I tested out the Pulse 3Ds. So I guess I'll talk a little bit about the Pulse 3Ds now too. But I tested out the Pulse 3Ds. The other headset I have is called the Arctis 7. It's not the Arctis 7P, which is actually for PlayStation in particular, but it's the Arctis 7, which is compatible with Xbox, PlayStation, and PC. There's a couple things that don't really work on it just because it's supposed to be PC, but I'm not too worried about those things because the wireless aspect and the battery life of them is phenomenal. So I wanted to test the Arctis 7 and the Pulse 3Ds. I decided to go with the Arctis 7s because the Pulse 3Ds were 1,000 times more uncomfortable than the Arctis 7s, plus the battery life lasts 1/4 as long as the Arctis 7s. So I ended up returning the Pulse 3Ds the next day, and they gave me $100 back, which is how much they're supposed to be. So they even looked right at the receipt and saw that it was $20 off, and gave me the Pulse 3D's money back for $100. So that being said, I spent $10 on the charging station. That's supposed to be $30. That's 66% off, y'all. And then I spent $8 on shipping to Tyler. So Tyler got it $12 off for a brand new.
Yeah.
So pretty incredible. But that just kind of happened. And I was just like, okay, bye. Just walked out and was like,
for one reason or another, it like is nowhere down here. There's not a place within an hour, 2 hours drive that you can get them right now. And they, and everywhere I've asked, they're like, oh yeah, we don't even have a date for them. Like, they won't be coming in. We have no idea.
I wasn't even really looking for them. I was grocery shopping and I was like, oh, I wonder what's over there. And I saw the Pulse 3Ds and I was like, oh. So I walked over there, grabbed it, and right next to it was a charging station. I was like, doesn't Tyler need one? So I snagged it, and then I got it for $10. Look at that magic.
I got some beef with that story because I bought my PlayStation 5 at Fred Meyer and I didn't get no $20 off. So
plus, look, you bought it in Washington where you had to pay sales tax.
Yeah, double whammo
for real.
If you guys don't know, by the way, I know this is tangent big time, but like when Micah says he gets deals, it's not a lie, and it's not that
joke.
They actually fall in his lap. Part of it now though is because he works at a place that's rent to own, and if it's not in good condition, they'll just put it in the trash. And so Mike is like, can I have it? And they're like, sure. And
no, I take it out of the trash.
Oh, that's,
and then take it home.
That's right.
That's how we're supposed to talk.
He doesn't ask
anyway.
Yeah, he goes dumpster diving. That's right, sorry about that.
Right, yep.
And the place he works is Spoon Savers.
Spoon Savers.
Yeah, spoonsavers.com/flicks and clicks.
Yeah, Mike is telling us how I got my PS4 Slim.
It's true. I was able to get Tyler a PS4, Daniel a PS4 for $50. So,
because
suck it, world.
You fixed it.
Because it was broken, and so I bought it for $50 because they were selling it for $50 because they're like, maybe someone will know how to fix it.
Here's the thing.
And so I was like, no, that's not true. It wasn't broken.
It wasn't
broken. I bought it for 50 bucks.
It was damaged. It didn't
I got another PlayStation 4 for free because it was broken and I fixed it. So there you go.
Well, this one was just damaged, and one USB port on the front of it was like, it didn't exist. And there was a hole where it used to be. And that
was
it.
Like a gaping black hole into the system.
Yeah. Everything else on the console worked just fine, and I could it never hindered me. Like my friend Nathan has the PlayStation VR, and I hooked it up to it just fine. I was never short on ports for any of that hookup. And
heck yeah,
yeah. So $50 to just not have one USB port, like whatever. Who cares?
Me getting things for free is another story, though, because there's probably 10 more stories in that I can think of right now. I've got a lot of stinking stuff for free.
But. So if you're not friends with Micah, it's time to become friends with Micah and get faux-fui stuff.
Faux-fui.
Faux-fui stuff. Jordan, do you have any accessories that we don't have? You have the charging station. What else do you have?
So I have the charging station. I have the camera because I bought my PS5 in a bundle, and I think the camera is kind of useless. Like, even if you want to stream directly from your console, like, I don't know. I was looking at it and trying to test it out just to see what it would look like, and it's really, like, bare bones and basic. I think it would be way easier if you had even a half-decent computer to remote play your PS5 on your PC and then stream from there, because then you can actually change what your stream looks like, where on the PS5 you could just move your camera around in like six different spots and put chat up on your screen if you want or not. So that's the other thing I have. I also use my PS4 headset. It's like the Rig 800 S, I think is what it's called. And that one works like perfectly fine on the PS5.
Is it wireless?
It is wireless. And it has like a 24-hour battery life. So that's sweet.
Yeah. Do you know if it supports Pulse 3D or the 3D audio, I mean, on PlayStation 5?
I'm not positive. I kind of doubt it. I'm like nearly deaf from work, so I can't tell all the time. But I mean, it's been working fine so far. The only like reason I thought about upgrading was because I'd heard the Pulse 3Ds will automatically like disconnect and switch your audio output on the PS5. And that has been one of the most annoying things about the PS5 for me recently, is every time I turn it on, I have to press the PlayStation home button and not hold it, because that takes you to your home screen and not the quick menu, which I do every time. And then go over to my sound settings and then switch it to my TV if I don't want to use my headset.
You can switch that off in the settings. It did the same thing for me with the Arctis 7s.
I tried that. I set my default to my TV and it's still going to my headset, and I can't figure out why. Yeah. That's like the only like gripe that I have about it, is those two little things about the pressing and holding the PlayStation home button and having to switch my audio every time.
Can we?
And my mic, if I wanted to use the controller mic for some reason.
Can we talk about that, since it came up organically?
Yeah.
Why in the world did they switch that?
Because that's the exact opposite of PS4, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I still do it too.
We're talking about pushing the home button, where on PlayStation 4 you held it down to bring up the quick menu and tapped it to go home, and on PS5 it switched. That's what we're talking about, if you missed it.
Yeah, it's been 2 months, not used to it. Do it every single time. Even if I'm thinking about it, I still press my home button and get so angry.
I think I understand the logistics of it. Like when my wife plays, for instance, she will quite often slip off of the joystick and tap the PlayStation button. On the PS4, that completely exits you out of the game, whereas it just brings up a quick menu now, and it pauses the game if it's a pausable game.
Yeah, that's fair. But with the new controller, like, I don't know. I think it's so much harder to hit because it's a smaller, flatter button. But maybe, yeah, it still frustrates me every time.
I personally think that they made a mistake in making it the way that it was on PS4, and we all just got really used to it. I think that's the problem. It's better on PlayStation 5, but since we're so stinking used to it, it makes it challenging.
I hate the quick menu on PS4. It's the opposite of quick. It's very slow, and it's like freezes up my whole system. It's probably just my own PlayStation.
Your PS4
don't worry dude
my PS4 Pro runs worse than my old PS4. It's ridiculous. I hate it.
It's because somebody spilled beer on it.
Yeah, I should have. My goodness, they offered to pay for it. They're like, oh man, I feel so bad, I'll pay for it, because at the time it was not working. And then I let it rest for a a couple days and it started to work fine. And so I was like, okay, no, don't worry about buying me a new system. They're like, we'll buy you a brand new one. It's fine. I'm like, no, don't worry about it. And then now it's having all these issues and I'm locked out of all my games because the TV won't display it because the ports are all messed up. It's just, oh man.
I thought you were going to say, they offered to buy me a new one. And so then I bought them a PS4. If you guys don't know, Keelan, you need to tell that story real quick.
Yeah,
have you told
that
on here before?
I don't think so. So I am a huge pushover. I'm terrible at standing my ground. And so I used to work at a pizza joint back in my high school days, part-time. And
with me.
With Micah, yeah.
Yeah, good times. And Little Caesars, bro.
Yeah. Way better than Domino's, in my opinion, but...
Yep.
Anyway, I was a high schooler, it was part-time, during slow
nights. Oh, crap. Domino's just unfollowed us on Twitter.
Whoa!
How are they listening?
Creepy, yeah, right? We're not creepy. Live.
I didn't even think of that. That's hilarious.
This comes out in a couple of days, but they knew, they heard it.
They're anyway,
always listening.
I wasn't closing that night, but I was working in like until like an hour or so before close. And it was a really slow night, and I wanted to go home like early because I don't know why. It was probably some stupid reason. But anyway, I go to my manager. I'm like, hey, is it possible? It's really slow. If I can like get the dishes done or whatever, is it possible I can go home like a half an hour early? But I mean, like, I totally understand. I was scheduled to work until 9, and so I'm totally fine with working until 9. But I mean, honestly, like, my priority is here. So if you need me to stay late, I can totally stay late. And I ended up staying late that night when I had originally planned to go home early. And I didn't even let the manager say anything. I talked myself into staying late when I was asking to go home early.
Oh my god, it's
terrible.
So now the running joke is that you get the complete and total opposite of what you're actually asking for.
Oh my god.
Can I also say there was one I was opening one morning and I was like sick and I went to the bathroom and I threw up and then I went home obviously cuz I was sick. And then like 2 hours after I get home, they call me to ask if I can cover my shift that they just sent me home from.
Because you were throwing
because
up.
Because I was throwing up.
And you went in, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I learned my lesson there. But
hey, you know,
you're like, yeah, I'll come in and throw up all over the pizza.
Now that Keelan's home, why don't we call Keelan? He's our guy. He'll do anything we want.
He's our guy.
If he wants to go home early, we can make him work an hour extra. Without saying anything.
If he comes at you and tells you he wants to go home late, just don't say anything. He'll eventually ask to stay later.
Oh, man. Keelan, help us out here. Put us back on track.
Yeah, really quick before we move on from this, not from the Little Caesars, but from the accessories. Tyler, you're wearing the Pulse 3Ds right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think?
I like them, but I was using the headphones that I was using before whenever I was chatting with people were literally the little tiny things you get with the PS4, like the one ear has a little adjustable mic thing for a mute button, the one ear like earbud thing. Mm. So that's what I would use when I was talking with people on PlayStation always in the past. And then I had a nice pair of headphones if I wanted it to sound better, but the headphones themselves were so tight on your head that I would have a headache, you know, a half an hour in already. My ears would be hurting really bad. So this is a huge upgrade for me. It's the first headset that I've ever bought that's actually a pretty decent headset. But that's what it is, and that's what I've heard from a lot of people, is that it's a pretty decent headset. One of the things that I've enjoyed about it is how well it does the compatibility with the PS5. So like what Jordan was mentioning about connectivity stuff, not a problem at all. I literally turn them on and boom, they're connected. I turn them off, they're disconnected, and the audio switches back to the TV immediately. I can mute it on the side of the headset. It's got all the normal things. You can mute it on the headset itself. There's a volume adjuster. There's a game chat versus game audio adjuster. There's a monitor button on there. Am I missing anything, Dan? You have them too.
I mean, there's the power on and off on the same side. Just to jump in real quick, that's actually the only frustrating thing I found with my set is that all the buttons and controls are on one side. So I find myself fumbling around a bunch trying to find, like, all right, how do I mute? I don't know which button is mute. Oh, no, that's volume down. Or oh, shoot, now I've, like, added more game audio as opposed to chat audio. And, like, I spend a good amount of time fumbling. And I'm sure that's one of those things where, like, eventually I'll get, like, muscle memory of knowing where all the buttons are on it. But, yeah, that is one downside to it. But everything else you've said, I 100% agree.
Yeah. Yeah, so the seamlessness of it, that connectivity thing is great. Here's what I will say, though. And Dan, I think I mentioned this to you last night, so I hope this isn't new news for you, but I went ahead and did a little bit of a test on how far it's going to reach from my PlayStation. I went around into my kitchen and then started going to my garage. When I started going into my garage, naturally, I'm like two walls away. My garage is a lot of concrete. I started losing connectivity. Okay, cool, no problem. I'm not going to play video games from my garage. I'm good with that. So I go back to my couch, and I sit down in front of my TV, and I start to play games again, and guess what? It's having connectivity issues. It's starting to cut out a little bit. It's not staying normal. You know, flick the switch off, flick it back on, it's fine. But I lost connection and came back, and it had issues. So I don't know if that's what the deal is. And honestly, when I get up and I'm not playing games, I don't normally take my headset with me. I'll just set it down. I'll say, be right back, guys, mute it and set it down. So I'm not one to, I mean, I know some of our friends are ones to take it into the bathroom with them and just, you know, go right there. We can all hear it, no problem, but that's not me.
Nasty, bro. That's one of the things when I was testing, I sit about 8 feet from my PlayStation 5, and I had connectivity issues with the Pulse 3D by sitting there, moving my head. If I move my head to the left, sorry, I just moved my head to the left, and then you couldn't hear me. Move my head to the left. Hey. So, sorry, just had to do that.
Whoa.
It would lose connection when I moved my head to the left, and that was frustrating because with the Arctis 7s that I have, I can leave the controller, walk around my house, and dance if I want, and it doesn't lose connectivity. I have a very small house, though, so that doesn't really mean a whole lot. All the way across my house is like 10 feet. But, yeah, that was one thing that was like, nope, gotta take these ones back. And then the comfort as well. Let's be real, though. The Pulse 3Ds are more comfortable than any other headset I've ever had, except for the Arctis 7s are way more comfortable. Because most headphones, I leave them on for half an hour, and I'm like, ah. Like the ones I'm wearing now for monitoring myself, I'm already, like, ready to take them off because they hurt my ears. Because I also have very big ears, and they sort of stick out a little bit. But the Arctis 7s ear cups are so stinking huge that it has no problem. I played once for 4 hours and forgot they were on my head. They're very comfortable. So,
Daniel, I mean, do you have anything Pulse 3D related?
Yeah, I was just going to say that your guys' analysis of like the range and connectivity, I've never experienced any of that. Like I've taken my Pulse 3Ds out to like the front of my house, like outside, like out my front door, and like they've stayed connected. Never had any connectivity issues, and I fidget a ton on my couch. I'm probably about 8 feet away from my TV and from my PlayStation also. And my couch is awful. It's so uncomfortable. I move around all the time, and I've never had an issue with it either.
Do you have the dongle, the receiver connected to the front or the back of the PlayStation 5?
The back, because I want my PlayStation 5 to look awesome.
Yep, I'm with you.
But cool. it's strange. I don't know. Maybe I just got fortunate and got a really solid set headset that just works good or something. I have no idea. But I haven't had any of those issues. I will say I have a very large head, so with Micah, most headphones are uncomfortable. And these were, the Pulse was definitely like a big jump forward in terms of comfort with the headphones. I really want to come down to Salem and try the 7P or 7s or Arctis 7s or something, just to feel how they feel. Cause that, I mean, if you're saying that they're more comfortable than the Pulse, then I want to be about that. So
why would but you they go- are more expensive. So that's not by much. Like it's like $25 more. If you go all the way to Arctis 7Ps, though, it's $50 more. So that's, 50% more expensive, which is definitely something. So I would say for $100, the Pulse 3Ds are a stinking good price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. We're totally worth the value. And Dan, I've never, the connectivity issue was literally only once I tested the range. Once I got to the place that was out of range and came back into range, then I had problems. Never had problems since. So.
Yeah, maybe I should try that and see if I run into the same thing, just so I can know. One other thing I'll say, maybe to kind of right before we transition out of headphone talk, is between these two, as I've played with both Micah and Tyler and heard them on either end, and the sevens, the Arctis sevens, are very crisp and very clear with the microphone. And all the S's and T's and the trebly sounds they cut through, and everything's very clear, where the Pulse, they're a little bit more like mid-low range, audio that you hear most. Neither would I say are bad, but I would say audio quality, the Arctis 7s are probably better, in terms of what other people hear you as, when you're playing.
To sort of, Keelan, if it's okay with you, continue a little bit with accessories and then move into what the console looks like. I also have the camera and I have the remote that came with the PlayStation 5. I have all of those things. The remote is the most uncomfortable remote on the face of the planet. I'm not talking about the DualSense. I'm talking about like the remote, like the one that's like the TV remote, basically.
The media one, yeah.
The media remote. It's terrible. The only good thing is that if you want to play Blu-rays or something, and you say your dad comes over and he's not used to, or whoever comes over and he's not used to holding a controller, then that's good, because then he'll be able to navigate fine because it's just a remote. But other than that, it's just a waste. Very uncomfortable. It's wobbly. It doesn't have a place to sit, so if you sit it down, it's wobbling on the table. Mm-hmm. Like, it's ridiculous. The camera I have not really used, but streaming from a computer and on a TV and with a PlayStation 5 just sounds like so hard to me, to where if I ever started streaming, I would probably try to use the PlayStation 5 camera and just do it straight from there. So I wanted to get it for that purpose, just in case I wanted to dabble in that. So I'm looking forward to that. Have not used it yet, so I don't really have much to say on it. But it looks kind of cool right beneath my TV. Hmm. That's about it.
Yeah, I should probably be clear when I mentioned it was easier. It would be easier to just remote play the PS5 on my computer and stream. I do have two monitors, so that's... I didn't think about that when I brought it up. That's a huge difference, because you could actually play on one and have OBS and everything on a second monitor. Yeah. Otherwise, it would, be pretty difficult.
So to transition a little bit out of the accessories and more to like the aesthetic / look of the console, I've read a lot of reviews. I've listened to a lot of reviews, watched a lot on YouTube. A lot of people don't like how big it is. They really care about that. They're like, where am I going to put this thing? Like, they really care about that. I don't. I really don't care about that. It might be that my TV stand is a monster and it just fits on there. I have it sitting vertically on the stand as well. And it looks awesome next to the TV. I have no problem with how big it is. The only gripe I might have is if I want to take it places. The PlayStation 4 was so stinking easy to take places because it's just a block and you just throw it in any backpack. But the PlayStation 5 has things that sort of stick out and can bend and break off if you're not careful. Those things have nothing to do with how the system will run, but obviously it's going to look pretty funny if one of those fins is broken off. So I'm worried about that. I'm not going to take it anywhere until I have like a dedicated case for it. And that is a tick in the negative direction, if you ask me. But otherwise, the look of the console and how big it is, I don't care about. And I think it looks pretty darn cool.
Yeah, I'm not excited to try to find a place to put it whenever I do end up getting it. I have no idea where it's gonna fit in this room, but
it is a beefy boy.
Beefy boy. 7-layer Crunchwrap Supreme.
That's right.
7 layers indeed. You know, I've taken the PS5 several places, including long distances, and I haven't had an issue with it, but at the same time I understand the concern because if I had packed my car poorly or even just made a mistake, because let's be honest, I make mistakes like that all the time, and something fell over on top of it, more than likely the PS5 itself would be fine, but I would be concerned that one of the top little fin pieces would snap or something. I think it's pretty flexible, especially considering the fact that in order to take those plates off, you have to bend it. That is what you have to do. That's like the process of taking it off. So I think it's pretty flexible. I think it's relatively durable, although I'm not one to have tested that. So I'd love to see somebody test how much it could flex. Actually, I should look up a YouTube video on that.
Speaking of the plates on the PlayStation 5, did you guys see that the company D-Brand is making custom black, all black plates that come out in December of this year? So it's a long ways away, but... And I saw a render picture of an all black console with the black on the outside. Holy smokes.
Are they allowed to do that? Because there were companies doing that and then they got shut down by Sony.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. They've been partnering with Sony on it, I believe.
Right on.
So is D-Brand making the actual plate or are they just making a skin to go on the plate?
Skins come out earlier. The plate itself comes out in December. So I'm not going to skin it probably. I'll probably just plate it, but yeah.
I don't think I'm going to change it, y'all. I actually really like how it looks. I really do. I like the white. I like the switch to white. It's not like PlayStation hasn't had white as their main color. It's just been a while since they have. And yep. I do like it. I think it's awesome. And I put it up in my living room, and it's definitely a statement piece in a way because... I will say this too. I have friends down here too that aren't gamers, but they know that that's a PS5 because everyone knows they're hard to get.
The clout.
Yeah. And so people, like, surprisingly less people have pointed it out than I thought. I thought, oh yeah, people are going to be like, what is that? Is that your router? Like, what in the world is that?
is that your router?
Yeah. But, no, I didn't really. My in-laws came and helped us move, and they're like, is that the new one? And I was like, yeah. And they talked to me about how their coworkers are trying to get it for their kids, and they can't get one. And I'm like, I know.
Jordan, Daniel, how do you guys have it set up? I'm curious.
So I had to completely reconfigure my bookshelves in order to get it to fit, and it's sitting next to my Switch right now. You can't see my Switch. They're side by side, so you technically can, but it's just so dwarfed in comparison. The thing's massive, but I love it. It's the first thing you see when you like walk into the room, pretty much. And on my bookshelf, you can't see the bookshelf in camera, but yeah, I think it looks great. I think the white looks amazing too. I probably won't change it unless the black looks really good or they come out with controller colors and those all clash, because that's something I've been desperately waiting for. I got 3 controllers on accident and painted one because I was just like, I want a different color. And it turned out
okay, but yeah.
I'm just imagining getting a picture from Jordan, and it's like you can see the brush strokes. It just looks really terrible.
It was spray paint, and the primer didn't hold in a bunch of sections, so it's like white and gray, like kind of spiderwebbed with gold trim. So it kind of looks cool, but also the buttons are sticky.
You have to show
it. Yeah, it's
it
right in front of me. Yeah.
It's actually going to probably look pretty cool.
I hope my camera focuses on it.
Whoa. That actually looks pretty good. That's sick.
That's dope. Yeah,
it doesn't look that bad. But it would be a lot better if Sony just released a painted color scheme controller.
Can you try to send me some kind of sexy lighting picture of that controller so I can put it on the Instagram? That would be awesome.
I'll bust out my camera and change the lighting in here.
That'd
be dope.
That looks like who's the raid guy in Destiny? That Kallus?
Yeah, Kallus.
That looks like something you'd get from a drop.
The wide angle
from the Leviathan. Yeah, totally. Yeah,
that's nice.
Crazy.
Daniel, how's your setup?
Yeah, mine, I like the way it looks, but I'm in the majority of people who are, I'm bummed about how big it is. We don't have a huge TV thing, so even before I got it, and I think when you guys did your very first, like, initial impressions on, like, after, like, 3 days of having it, you guys talked about, like, the sizes, so, and I think one of you measured it, so I, like, took those measurements, and I, like, went to my TV hutch or whatever, and I was like, oh, shoot. I don't know what I'm going to do here. Luckily, it fits with maybe an inch on either side, maybe a little less, in my on one whole shelf in the middle of my TV hutch thing. But it's horizontal, which I'm not thrilled about. I would much rather have it standing upright, but I just have no place to put it upright. And especially when you consider the fact that I have 110-pound year and a half old dog that is not always calm. I don't want to like put it upright somewhere where he can just like haphazardly knock
breathe
it down
and
yeah, exactly. So for now it's sitting horizontally on a shelf, and I don't like it as much there too because there's a lot of like dust and dog hair that can get in there, and it just makes me nervous. But eventually I'll probably reorient and try and find a spot for it. But I think the size, I mean, I get why it's big because there's a lot of stuff happening inside of it and everything, but part of me just wishes it could be just even just a little bit smaller so that it could be, I don't know, easy to put places. I don't know. That's my thoughts. I like the white. I'm going to keep the white probably for a long, long time, probably ever. But yeah.
So this is the first time that they've ever designed a PlayStation console specifically to look better standing up. All of the other ones look better, in my opinion, horizontally. They all so far have looked okay standing up, but this one looks clearly better standing up. And I would say, like I had my PS4 Pro standing up on its side, and I was like, that's pretty cool. I think that the PS5 looks so bad on its side. So bad. Like, it looks really, really bad. It looks like wonk. It looks like somebody accidentally left it on the grill for a little while, and it melted down. And then that's what it looks like horizontally. Standing up looks fantastic. Sleek, sexy, even.
Well, and it's not symmetrical not, like, when it's on its side. Everything is weird, and it's like,
I do.
There's cool things. That are symmetrical. There's cool things that are asymmetrical though.
I mean,
the Millennium Falcon's not symmetrical, and that ship is awesome looking.
It's
and
true.
We have the disc version, which is not symmetrical standing up either, technically. True. But it just looks better.
Also true. But there's something to be said about like intentional asymmetry when it is, you know, it's like the Millennium Falcon looks the way it looks because it was supposed to look that way and it looks awesome, you know. The PlayStation looks better standing up, but when you're forced to put it on its side, you're like, ah, oh, man, this thing, I hope nobody sees it. I'm going to be embarrassed.
Okay, side tangent. So we all say that the Millennium Falcon looks awesome, but throughout all the movies, they talk about it as this piece of trash. I think it was supposed to look like a piece of trash.
Just saying.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of Last Jedi?
Oh my god.
Just don't say those words when I'm on this podcast or I'll Daniel. Take it over.
Daniel, go.
I was just going to say, I watched Solo the other day and I was reminded that it was just meh. But the Millennium Falcon is like brand spanking new and shiny and cool, and like all the panels are there and the interior is like, the floor is shiny black and all the panels on the inside are like this clean white, and I was like, wow, it looks so good. And yet I saw it and I was like, but it looks better when it's destroyed. Like after they released the escape pod thing or whatever, which is, by the way, fills up the whole empty space in the front of it that has like the little things. It like looks so much better. That's all I was going to say.
Gotcha.
And tangent over.
Yeah, I will say the discless version, the all digital version, does look a lot better in my opinion, standing up or sideways or upside down, diagonal. anyway, I think we've about exhausted all the different things we can talk about, aside from very nitpicky things. Before we get into our big, like, final score from each of us, is there anything else you guys want to talk about before we do that?
Something that I think needs to play into all of our review and our scoring is the storage. It is not much. After the system, it says 825 gigabytes on the box. That's sort of true, but almost 200 of those are taken up by the system. There are 667.2 gigabytes that you can use for storing your games. If you have Call of Duty Cold War, that game is 147 gigabytes. That's a lot. So if you have that and three other games, your storage is full. And that, to me, is silly. I personally haven't had quite that much of a problem yet, because when I platinum a game, I usually don't go back to it for a long time. So when I platinum a game, I delete it. So I, right now, I think have 200 gigs free. But there, when I was trying to platinum like two or three games, it was full, 100%. And I didn't have enough room for updates for other games. So that to me is frustrating. And I know that the Xbox Series X has like a remedy to that. That is outrageously expensive. And I know that PlayStation 5 is trying to get some storage that you can plug in. I think you have to like sort of take your console apart to plug it in, but they're looking at that. And so I'm hoping that that comes out soon, because the storage to me is a little bit silly in how few gigabytes that we got. It's less than a PS4 Pro. If you're going to go out and buy a PS4 Pro, you have less space for PS5. So I think that's a little bit silly. My guess is that they will remedy that with a version of the PlayStation 5 that comes out in 3 or 4 years from now.
I think we all need to also take into our review the networking aspect of PlayStation 5. And what I mean by that is the way that you're able to play with friends and interact with friends and share things with your friends on PS5, I think has almost all around improvements, except for the party system. The way the party system is set up on the UI is an actual trash can of parties. It's super stupid. I don't know what they're thinking. It's very not good. Why in the world would you... I just don't understand it. Because you're going down this party screen. We talked about this in the first impressions, but it's become worse as we've gone on, because we've been in more parties. If I want to play with Daniel, Micah, and Keelan, we play Destiny 2. Sweet. So we play Destiny 2. And then the next night, I want to play with Daniel, Micah, and Jordan. And so we create a new party. And then the next night, I want to play with Daniel, Keelan, and Jordan. And so I've got all these parties sitting in the party menu. None of them... And then let's just say that Daniel is online the next night, but I want to, you know, join him. And he's in one of those parties. It will show a green dot by him in all of those parties because he was in every single one of them. and I have no idea which one he's actually in, and I might just need to create a new one. I don't know. And it's just, it's a nightmare to try and figure out where people are. It should say what party people are in. It should not say just who's online. I just don't understand why they do that.
There's also no way of joining a party that you're not already like been invited to. So in PlayStation, on PlayStation 4 with the party system, you could make your party public, which means your friends or friends of friends can jump in and join you and just say, hey, I'm playing this. You want to come play it real quick? You know what I mean? Like something like that. Or just join your party and say, hey, what's up? I'm playing this. You know what I mean? But PlayStation 5, if say you guys, the four of you guys have a party, and you were playing the night before, and you jump back on again, and I join, I have to make a new party and then invite one of you guys, and then you have to switch parties to talk to me for a little bit and then say, oh, actually, there's another party. It's just a mess. It's a 100% complete mess. They need to fix it. That's not really a group on gripe on PlayStation 5. It's Sony, man. Like it's not good. Mm-hmm. It's really bad. Once you get through the mess, though, the connectivity and all that stuff is great, but it's a trash can. Every time I open up the parties, I'm like, oh boy, here we go.
And why is there no quick leave button? I have to go through five menus to actually leave a voice chat. Sorry, Jordan, go ahead.
Yes.
Well, I was just going to say their take was basically like everyone likes having 900 different group messages in their phone, right? Let's just do that.
Seriously? That's exactly what it is.
That's how you can call
is?
Each other.
Yes.
That's exactly what
yes.
it is.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
With no way to name them, so you can't like even organize the mess that's there.
Or even and it's just like that, and then you know, Daniel can't see my group message if I send it to the one that he's not currently in right now. God, it's just stupid. I just don't get it.
Yeah, anyway. And to add to it further, if you invite somebody and they don't like respond to your initial invite, like, it's nearly impossible to go back in and re-find that invite easily. Like, you have to go find the notifications is probably the easiest way. But if you're just trying to jump in a party, like, it's really hard. And I can't re-invite somebody once I've invited them to the party to make it easier to find them, which
another
is the most
flaw.
Aggravating thing. Like, once you've already sent the invite, PlayStation Network considers them a part of the party, and they can join whenever they want. But if I'm trying to help them, like, find it, I can't. I can do nothing.
There is, so I legitimately have to go talk to you guys about this because I've got to figure this out. You can name your parties, so I've thought maybe we can name the parties a Destiny 2 party, and we can just add people to that. Whoever wants to play Destiny can just be in that one. But then at the same time, you don't, yeah, it's just a mess. Anyway, don't want to harp on it too much. Keelan, what's next? Or does anyone else want to say something about PS5? That we need to take into consideration for our ratings?
One thing that I'll say on the positive side is you can really jump in and jump out of playing a game very fast. I know we've said that before, like load times are fast, but take this into consideration. My wife and I are having company over yesterday, and we're waiting for people to come over, and we're like, oh, they'll be here any minute. I'm thinking, I'm going to go play a quick game of Rocket League. So Rocket League games are 5 minutes, you know, with some goal stops and whatnot, maybe 6 or 7 minutes total, right? So I have about 10 minutes before they're going to get here. So I jumped on Rocket League and played a game and jumped off, and then that was fine. That wouldn't happen on PS4. On PS4, it would take a minute to boot up the system, a minute and a half to boot up Rocket League, a minute and a half to find a match. And then I'm, you know, a half my time is gone. By the time I'm 2 minutes into the match, they'd have showed up. But on PS5, you know, minute and a half, 2 minutes, I'm into a game playing. And so that aspect of it, just the quick, I'm just going to jump in and play this real quick, is so, so good to me. And I love that part.
Cool. Well, let's do this. We'll go around. Clock. Well, no, I guess we're probably all configured differently on each other's screens. Let's do Micah, Jordan, Daniel, Tyler, me for our reviews.
Yeah. Okay. I will go first because you told me to. Let's see. I love the PlayStation 5. I am glad that it is future-proofed for future things. I'm glad that someday it will support 8K, which is pretty crazy. It's made old games new again. The games that have come out for it so far are really, really fun. And although there aren't many launch titles, there's still a lot more than Xbox because the Xbox has zero. So that is a plus. The controller is fantastic. Just jumping on and playing with your friends is fun, even though you have to jump through trash parties. The storage takes a little bit of a hit for me. I know that there's ways to remedy that, but I'm sad that it has to come out of my pocket to pay for that. So I think, what are we doing out of 10, Keelan?
Yes. Yeah.
Are we doing a point? Like, or do I have to do a solid?
No, you can do decimals.
Okay. Then my decimal is, I'm going to give it a 9.3 is going to be my PlayStation 5 rating. I think storage alone takes it down 6 of those. And then the other one is the party system that is so invigorating. So that's my rating, 9.3. Is it worth your money? I say 100% yes. I have not regretted my purchase in the slightest for 1 second. So that's me, 9.3 for me.
Cool. Jordan?
All right. Out of 10 for me, I'll probably give it a 8.7. The user interface it's been 2 months. I'm still confused. I just yesterday figured out how to view my list of trophies for all my games. Like, couldn't find it until yesterday. The party chat is just a mess. And the connectivity with the headphones. One thing I liked about the PS4 is if you set your audio output to headphones only, the next time you turned it on, it would be headphones only. And then if you set it to chat only, it would be chat only the next time you turned your PS4 on. And I really liked that it saved your last use setting. This doesn't do that. And then storage does really suck. But as far as right now, because you can't use an external hard drive for your PS4 only games, that does help alleviate it a bit for me because I already had that. So that's kind of nice. And visually, every game I've played has blown my mind. I don't wait for games. I have like super bad ADD. So if I loaded up Destiny on the PS4, it would like put me back into the loading screen because I would forget that I was loading into the game because it just took so long. As far as if it's worth your money, I'm a pretty anxious person, and when I bought it, between when I purchased it and when I shipped it, I was aggressively checking my phone every 20 minutes to make sure it didn't cancel or get shipped somewhere or get stolen. And yep. I would gladly do that again just to get another one because
yes,
it's been great so far.
Right on. Daniel?
Yeah, there's not too many things about this that are big enough detractors for me to consider anything lower than, I'd say, like a 9.5, to be honest. Which I know seems, I don't know, it seems pretty high. But you got to remember, I'm coming from a couple pretty old or like subpar consoles. So the jump has been just amazing. And the gripes that I have are ones that can easily be remedied with updates down the road. I guess it's just for me, just the enjoyment that I've gotten, the amount of game time I've gotten, in the last while having it, the connectivity of, like, obviously the accessories, but also just the way that I've been able to connect with you guys and my other friends more playing it. It's earned a pretty high grade for me. So I'd say a 9.5.
Nice. T-Town.
That's a new one.
Have you ever called him T-Town?
No. No one has ever called me T-Town.
That's about to change.
Yeah. Jordan's like, that's my new name for you.
T-Town.
My rating is going to be right up there with Dan's, probably a 9.5. The 0.5 is definitely the party system. I think almost all of it is the party system. The storage is a big deal for me too, but I can get rid of a game and put a new game on, and it's not too big a deal for me. There's not usually a time where I'm playing, you know, a huge deal of games at the same exact time. I can delete one and then download it later, and that's no problem to me. Because it's as simple as, now you can do it from the app. It literally, like, you know, if it's a digital game, I can, like, wake up in the morning and go, I want to play this later today. Dink, download it, and then I get home from work and I can play it. So,
as long as you're in rest mode, right?
As long as you're in rest mode, which I've been making a habit of doing, because there's some really cool things you can do from rest mode. But I'd say a 9.5. Yeah, the party system is just absolute trash. I agree with Jordan too that the UI is confusing, and they took a lot of things out that were pretty cool, like the chat only, you know, all that stuff. They took some things out that were kind of cool and useful, like the quick menu. I feel like on the PS4 had more options that would help you get to things way quicker. Parties, okay. that was way easier to navigate, I think, even though it still is also kind of clunky in PS4. There's just better ways to do it. So I think that's it for me, but totally worth money. I want to really emphasize, absolutely everything is worth the money. PlayStation, Sony did a fantastic job of keeping things affordable for what you're actually getting. The PS5 itself, very much worth $500. Are you kidding me? I'm surprised I got it for $500. Seriously. And then the Pulse 3D headset, same exact thing. It's not the best headset in the world, but it's totally worth the money. The DualSense controller, $70. The new Xbox controller, how much is that? Like 100? What is it? It's a ridiculous amount of money.
Well, the one that they're like pitting it against, the DualSense, is $180.
Yeah.
The normal Xbox Series X controllers, I think, are still 60 or 65 or something like that. So they're a little cheaper. But if you want to like get one that has, you know, competing like levels of epicness, you have to spend almost triple.
Yeah,
the DualSense.
And the DualSense is $70, y'all. That's ridiculous. Redonkulous events. Yeah, so I think value wise absolutely, absolutely worth it. There's definitely things that can be fixed. I think updates will fix with that. But what do I use a game console for? I want to connect with my friends, which I can do really easily, and I can do new cool things like screen share. And I want to play games. And, you know, maybe down the road I'm going to use the Ultra HD 4K disk drive. But that's honestly not something I'm going to use as often. So, like, for games, holy smokes. Like, I can get way more gaming in, like Micah said. I can talk to my friends and participate and feel like I'm more with them because of the features that it has. And the value is just incredible.
Right on. Well, I crunched the numbers. Collectively, it's standing at a 9.25. So that's a pretty high score.
So that's our rating as a podcast, 9.25?
Mm-hmm. Yep, if we had to average it out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Jordan, I'd love to hear what a 10 console would be for you, but that's a conversation for another time.
Yeah, me too.
We can do that later.
There's, you know, as soon as I hear what Jordan's 10 console will be, I'll probably be like, yeah, I guess, you know, if that's on the table, 8.7, I'm with you. Jordan's probably got some great ideas.
You push a button and it dispenses chocolate milk.
Oh yeah.
KFC console, is nobody going to talk about that? Come on.
Do you guys see that? There's a KFC console that literally keeps your chicken warm.
And it's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
KFC is actually making a video game console.
And wasn't it specced out at like $2,000? Yeah, with the chicken warmer.
It's like $2,000 with a chicken warmer in it.
Whoa. Wait, though.
This is no joke. This is real.
Worth it?
What plays on it? We're not kidding.
Yeah, what are your life?
Go to KFC.
It's a PC. It's technically a
Twitter
PC.
Account.
Yeah.
Go to the KFC gaming account.
They have a gaming Twitter account. It's
are
amazing.
You sure this isn't
probably
a spam?
Has more followers than we do.
This is a real thing.
I would
thing.
Say it absolutely has more followers than we do.
Dude. What in the world?
Oh man. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. Thanks for tuning in. That's a review. Again, follow us on Twitter, on Instagram. We said in the beginning, Twitter, Flicks and Clicks. Instagram is flicks_and_clicks. And if you feel so inclined to support us on Patreon, patreon.com/flicksandclicks. And we out. Bah, blah, blah, blah.
Bam, 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 bam. That was a nice touch.
Time for the chicken song.
Chicken nuggets. How did it go? Chicken nuggets taste so good, baby.
On this, on the topic of chicken.
I thought maybe if we was having a roast chicken one night or something.